Amateur Radio Newsline Report number 1946 with a release date of November 29th, 2014 to follow in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. The following is a QST. The Department of Homeland Security says that ham radio is an important part of its new emergency communications plan. NASA to sponsor $5 million CubeQuest Challenge. The Northern California DX Foundation announces a major contribution to the January 2015 Navassa Island de-expedition. Estate of former ham makes $1.4 million bequest to journalism school. FunSat 1 celebrates its first year in space. And where are all the payphones going in the Big Apple? Find out the details on Amateur Radio Newsline Report number 1946, coming your way right now.
From around the world, this is Newsline, Amateur Radio's first and only independent on-the-air news and bulletin service. Now, here is Skeeter Nash, N5ASH.
Ham radio will be a part of the Department of Homeland Security's 2014 National Emergency Communications Plan, as we hear from Bill Pasternak, WA6ITF.
The ARL reports that the latest United States Department of Homeland Security 2014 National Emergency Communications Plan, or NECP, formally incorporates amateur radio. This in its blend of media outlets that could support and sustain communications in a disaster or emergency situation. According to the new plan, amateur radio operators can be an important conduit for relaying information to response agencies and personnel when other forms of communications have failed or have been severely disrupted. The document also describes changes that lie ahead for other forms of emergency communication, such as the 9/11 system. It notes that the next generation 9/11 will enhance the capabilities of current networks by permitting the transmission and reception of photos, videos, and text messages. This, says the agency, will provide additional situational awareness to dispatchers and emergency responders. For the Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Bill Pasternak, WA6ITF, in Los Angeles.
The ARRL says that the 2014 National Emergency Communications Plan is the first update since the original plan was released in 2008. It was made public on November 12th with the complete text on the web at www.dhs.gov/NECP. A post on the RSGB EMC committee forum acknowledges that the group is carrying out an investigation of the significance of interference to amateur radio from leakage from VDSL systems. VDSL is an acronym for Very High Speed Digital Subscriber Lines, which transmit data in the 13 to 55 megabytes per second range over short distances between 1,000 and 4,500 feet of twisted pair copper wire. According to committee member Robin Page Jones, G3JWI, the emissions from VDSL are continuous and can be indistinguishable from white noise. As such, they may go unnoticed for some time. Most problems are seen when the connection to houses in the area is by overhead cables. The band that is affected the most depends on distance of the house or business from the street VDSL cabinet. NASA has announced a mini satellite or CubeSat design contest that will see participants competing for $5 million in prize money and a chance to have their winning satellite flown to the moon by the space agency. Called the CubeQuest Challenge, the objective of the competition is to design, build, and deliver to NASA a flight-qualified small satellite or CubeSat capable of advanced research in the vicinity of our moon and beyond. The competition consists of three separate challenges, with the prize monies divided between them as outlined by NASA. The first of these will be comprised of four ground tournaments to determine which entries are capable of being carried to space. This will have a prize of $500,000. A lunar derby will be a $3 million competition for establishing the capability to put a CubeSat into a stable orbit around the moon and demonstrating both its durability and communication capabilities while there. There will also be a deep space derby for demonstrating a CubeSat's durability and communication at distances up to 10 times the distance beyond that of the moon. It will bring with it a prize of $1.5 million. A NASA release says that the prize purse in the CubeQuest Challenge is the largest cash prize the agency has ever offered. The winning CubeSat will be launched as a secondary payload on the first integrated flight of NASA's Orion spacecraft and Space Launch System rocket. Full information about the competition, including entry requirements, are at tinyurl.com/NASA-CubeSat-challenge. Ham Radio has returned to the International Space Station, this with the arrival of European Space Agency astronaut Samantha Cristoforetti, IZ-1UDF, after a 5-hour and 45-minute trip that began at the Baikonur Cosmodrome in Kazakhstan. Cristoforetti made the trip along with United States astronaut Terry Virts and Russian cosmonaut Anton Shlapkarov. The three new arrivals were welcomed to the orbiting outpost by Commander Barry Wilmore, along with cosmonauts Yelena Serova and Alexander Sanmokachev. Virts, Shlapkarov, and Cristoforetti will remain aboard the station until mid-May. The current crew is slated to return to Earth in early March. Two Japanese amateur radio satellites will be headed into space, but there won't be a Mode J SSB or Morse transponder on board either of them after all. As reported last week, Japan's Shenyun 2 was slated to carry a ham radio transponder with a lower sideband uplink between 145.940 to 145.960 MHz and a UHF downlink from 435.280 to 435.260 MHz on upper sideband. Shortly after we went to air, word arrived that the transponder had been scrapped. No reason for the decision to not carry the transponder was given, but speculation was that it had to do with the amount of power that it would require to operate. While the satellites will still ride into space with the Japan Aerospace Exploration Agency's asteroid mission, one will carry a CW beacon on 437.505 MHz and WSJT telemetry on 437.385 MHz. The second satellite will have a CW beacon at 437.325 MHz. With a November 29th scheduled launch date, the two birds could be on orbit by the time you hear this newscast. The United Kingdom's FunCube 1 ham radio satellite is celebrating its first birthday in space, as we hear from Jeremy Boot, G4NJH.
FunCube 1, otherwise known as AO73, has celebrated its first birthday. It was launched at 0710 UTC on the 21st of November 2013. The satellite has been performing very satisfactorily, with the battery voltage keeping above 8 volts, and is fully charged within about 7 to 10 minutes after re-entering sunlight from eclipse. AMSAT UK would like to thank all those who download telemetry and forwarding it to the warehouse and who use the transponder. This telemetry data is invaluable both as an educational resource and to see how the spacecraft systems are performing and surviving. So far, almost 400 megabytes of unique data via stations from all around the world has been collected. For the Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Jeremy Boot, G4NJH in Nottingham in the UK.
In DX Upfront, the Northern California DX Foundation has announced a major contribution of $35,000 to the K1N Navassa Island de-expedition planned for January of 2015. Navassa is an environmentally fragile area which, since 1996, has had access strictly controlled by the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. As such, no de-expedition has been approved since that time. This, in turn, has made it the number one most sought-after entity on Clublog's 2014 Most Wanted list. The KP-15 project has been working for over 12 years to obtain permission to operate from Navassa. There are strict limitations to the number of visitors and the time allowable on the island. Planners say that access has been granted for 2 weeks in January, as that month has the least bird nesting. However, January weather makes access by sea all but impossible. For safety, the Fish and Wildlife Service requires a helicopter landing for all personnel and equipment, raising the cost of the operation considerably. Details of the de-expedition are at www.navassadx.com. Time for you to identify your station. We are the Amateur Radio Newsline, heard on bulletin stations around the world, including the WA6YNT repeater, serving Anaheim, California. Members of Utah's Sinbad Desert Amateur Radio Club participated in a wilderness-based rescue training exercise on November 3rd through the 6th. This in conjunction with National Guard civil support teams from New Mexico, Colorado, Idaho, and Oklahoma. The training took place among the high rocks and deep canyons of Utah's San Rafael Desert in eastern Utah. The exercise consisted of multiple medical rescues from one of the many canyons that are favored by climbers and hikers. The Emory County Sheriff's Office brought their emergency response vehicles to the desert deep canyon site. This included the recent addition of their amateur radio public safety communications trailer. Amateur contacts were handled on 40-meter SSB and 2-meter FM, the latter utilizing the club's 2-meter repeater system. Exercise organizers and evaluators stated that communications during this exercise were the best they have ever been in this remote location, and called the Sinbad Desert Amateur Radio Club a valuable asset to Emory County and the state of Utah. You can read the entire story at tinyurl.com/utah-mcom-exercise. More about the Sinbad Amateur Radio Club is at sdarc.us. The latest reading of the 5 MHz newsletter is now available for free download. The autumn 2014 edition features a number of stories, including 60-meter spectrum changes in Dominica, several items on WRC 2015, South African beacon changes, and NVIS observations, and much more. Your free copy is on the web from tinyurl.com/jvjrtn6. The recently announced Chelmsford Calling World Service, produced by Jim Salmon, 2E0RMI, has added a shortwave relay from Finland. Chelmsford Calling is currently relayed on shortwave on 9.955 MHz by Radio Miami International on the second Friday of each month at 2300 UTC. The additional relay will be by Scandinavian Weekend Radio, which is located in Virat City, Finland. The show's European shortwave broadcast will take place the first Saturday of the month, starting on December 6th. Frequencies announced are 1.602, 5.980, 6.170, 11.690, 11.720, and 94.90 MHz. The latter 94.90 MHz transmission likely being local FM for the immediate area, while all the others being AM for worldwide transmission. The Chelmsford Calling Network calls itself a station promoting radio technology and celebrating our wireless heritage. More is on the web at chelmsfordcalling.com. Germany's National Ham Radio Society, the Deutscher Amateur Radio Club, says that a bit of communications history came to an end on November 4th with the demolition of the Verchtetal shortwave transmitter towers. The shortwave station using these towers came into operation for the Munich Olympics in 1972. At the time, it was the largest shortwave transmitter in Europe, with 29 masts up to 125 meters in height. The first test transmissions began on April 10, 1972, using several 500-kilowatt transmitters. The demolition of the facilities started in May, and the plant will be completely gone by the end of the year. Russia has gotten into the terrestrial broadband news and information game. This with word that it has launched a media brand called SputnikNews.com with modern multimedia centers in dozens of countries. It appears the streaming station, website, and mobile phone app's purpose is to counter the news outlets of English-speaking nations such as Voice of America and the BBC. Sputnik hopes to broadcast in 30 languages, with over 800 hours of programming covering over 130 cities and 34 countries by the end of next year. Sputnik's actual broadcasting will use modern formats such as digital DAB, DAB+, HD radio, FM radio, as well as mobile phone apps, along with internet broadcasting around the clock. In a 2013 interview with RT News, Russian President Vladimir Putin expressed his wish to break the Anglo-Saxon monopoly on the global information streams. Radio Sputnik went live on November 10th. More about the new multi-platform service is on the web at tinyurl.com/russia-radio-sputnik. Some names in the news. The Radio Society of Great Britain has announced the appointment of Philip Willis, M0PHI, as the new chairman of its Training and Education Committee. Willis succeeds Steve Hartley, G0FUW. The Board of Trustees of the Canadian Amateur Radio Hall of Fame has announced the induction of the late Don Dashney, VE3RM, and George Spencer, VE3AGS, to the Hall of Fame for 2014. The families of the two appointees will receive this posthumous award in early 2015. A summary of their contributions to amateur radio will be published in the Canadian Amateur Magazine. Back here in the USA, the names of two Arkansas radio pioneers will be on a new scholarship set up at the University of Arkansas at Little Rock's School of Mass Communication. This as the school announces that it has received a $1.4 million bequest from the Johnny A. Wynn Revocable Trust. Johnny Wynn died last year at age 100. In making the announcement, the school said she was the first licensed amateur radio operator in the state of Arkansas, but a search of records available on the internet has not revealed her call sign. Her husband, Dan, who died in 1998 at age 86, helped put 30 radio stations on the air. He was also a past chairman of the Arkansas Emergency Broadcast System. The gift sets up the Dan and Johnny Wynn Memorial Scholarship, with preference given to students in journalism or radio. The announcement of the grant and scholarship was made on Tuesday, November 25th. ARRL members in the Western Pennsylvania section have elected contester Tim Duffy, K3LR, as their new section manager. Duffy, who lives in West Middlesex, has been a radio amateur and an ARRL member for 42 years and has served for 4 years as the Atlantic Division representative to the ARRL Contest Advisory Committee. K3LR also has been an active member of Aries and Races and has extensive net and traffic handling experience. In eastern Massachusetts, Tom Walsh, K1TW of Bedford, will take the helm of that ARRL section. Walsh has been an assistant section manager and was the only candidate for the section manager's job. Current section manager Phil Temples, K9HI, who has served as Eastern Massachusetts SM since 2011, decided not to run for a new term of office. Taking over the top leadership role in the Southern New Jersey section will be Thomas Airy, N2EI of Beverly. Airy has been the affiliated club coordinator in Southern New Jersey. Incumbent SM George Strayline, W2GSS, opted not to run for another term after serving since 2009. In the West Central Florida section, Daryl Davis, KT4WX of Fort Meade, will be the new SM starting in the new year. He was the only candidate for the position. Davis brings to the office his experience as an assistant section manager, Aries emergency coordinator, and technical specialist. Several incumbent section managers faced no opposition, and they will continue with new terms of office starting January 1st, 2015. They are Missouri's Dale Bagley, K0KY, Matt Anderson, KA0BOJ of Nebraska, Jim Mazey, W2KFV, who serves the New York City, Long Island area, Tom Dick, KF2GC for Northern New York, and Mark Tarpley, N4UFP of South Carolina. 2-year terms for all successful candidates will begin on January 1st, 2015. This is Ham Radio News for today's Radio Amateur. We are the Amateur Radio News Line with links to the world from our only official website at www.arnewsline.org and being relayed by the volunteer services of the following radio amateur. A Dutch company has introduced a radio-based detection system that can alert drivers if a police officer or other emergency services official is using a two-way radio nearby. At least it can in Europe. Amateur Radio Newsline's Hal Rogers, K8CMD, reports.
According to a United Kingdom Sunday Times article, the unit called Blue Eye monitors frequencies used by Europe's TETRA encrypted communications networks used by most government agencies. It doesn't allow the user to listen in to the actual transmissions, which is illegal and would require advanced decryption capabilities, but it can detect a radio in operation up to 1 kilometer away. Even if a message isn't being sent, Tetra radios transmit pulses out to the network every 4 seconds, and the Blue Eye unit can also receive that. A dashboard-mounted monitor uses lights and sounds to alert the driver to the proximity of the source, similar to a radar detector. I'm Hal Rogers, K8CMD.
Needless to say, the device is causing quite a stir on the other side of the Atlantic. More about it is on the web at tinyurl.com/Europe-Blue-I, and blue is spelled B-L-U. Broadband Hamnet has announced a new firmware release titled 3.0.0. This latest version includes the Ubiquiti M9 series AirMax devices, giving hams use of the 900 MHz band for mesh networking. This latest release builds on a series of advancements that build on the Ubiquiti firmware released for the 2.4 GHz and 5.8 GHz ham bands earlier this year. More is on the web at broadband-hamnet.org. A new and inexpensive Raspberry Pi Pico computer, christened the Model A+, has been released. Selling at only about $20 US, depending on where you buy it, this is a truly updated version that features, among other things, a 700 MHz Broadcom CPU with 256 MB RAM, a 4-pole stereo audio output, a composite video port, and a full-size HDMI connector. Also included are ports for connecting a CSI camera and Raspberry Pi touchscreen display that are sold separately. The Raspberry Pi A+ measures only 56 by 65 millimeters with standard mounting holes already drilled into the PC board. A full article on this latest single-board tiny computer is at tinyurl.com/raspberry-pi-model-a. Word that holders of the United Kingdom's full class license can now apply for a notice of variation. This to permit them to operate a fixed station in the 2300 to 2302 MHz band. This particular notice of variation is applicable to UK hams residing in the United Kingdom only. It does not cover British radio amateurs holding United Kingdom licenses but who reside in Crown dependencies such as the Isle of Man, Guernsey, and Jersey, to name only a few. A notice of variation in the United Kingdom is similar to a special temporary authority granted here in the United States by our FCC. The Dubai-based Emirates Institution for Advanced Science and Technology, in partnership with American University of Sharjah, are developing the nation's first CubeSat, named NIEF-1. A report in Satellite Pro magazine says students will take part in the program as their senior engineering design project. They will be responsible for the design, assembly, integration, and testing of the completed CubeSat. The planners hope to launch the completed CubeSat on a SpaceX Falcon 9 lift vehicle by the end of 2015. No word on the type of transponder, beacons, modes of operation, or operating frequencies are known at this time. On the air, the European Radio Amateurs Organization, together with the 30 Meter Digital Group, have announced a new QSO party with the motto, Be Digital, Explore 30 Meters. The party will be held the weekend of December 20th and 21st from 0:00 to 2400 UTC. This is not a contest, but rather a radio meeting with a few simple recommendations to follow. You can find them at tinyurl.com/explore-30-meters. In DX, F6BLP will be active as 6W7SK from Senegal between January 10th and February 15th of 2015. This will be a holiday-style operation, mainly using CW on 80 through 10 meters, with the possibility of 160 if things work out. QSL to F6BLP, either direct or via the Bureau. W8GEX and W8CAA will be active as C6ADX and C6AYL, respectively, from the island of Exuma through December 3rd. Listen out for them on 60 through 10 meters using SSB and RIDI, QSL to their home call signs. KL7SB will be operational as E51RAT from Rarotonga through December 6th. Activity will be limited as time permits, but look for him on 80 through 10 meters, primarily on CW with some SSB, RIDI, and some digital modes. QSL via NI-5DX. OE-4AAC will be operational as SJ-9AC from Mahi and Praslin Islands in the Seychelles Island Group between January 17th and February 10th of 2015. Activity will be holiday style on 40 through 10 meters on CW only. QSL OE-4AAC direct by the Bureau or Club Logs OQRS. Lastly, K6REF is currently active stroke KC4 from the United States camp at Ross Ice Shelf in Antarctica. The team is there for both survival training and seismometer installation. Late word is that they should be there for another week or more. Ham radio operation has been on 20 meters SSB around 14.243 megahertz around 1900 UTC. More is on the web at waponline.it. And finally this week, a legendary device that predated the cell phone and the smartphone appears to be on its way to oblivion in one of the world's largest cities, as we hear from Amateur Radio Newsline's Jim Dameron, N8TMW.
Payphones on New York City streets would become a remnant of the past under a plan that would replace them with standalone devices offering free Wi-Fi and nationwide phone calls as well as mobile phone charging capabilities. New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio calls the project Link NYC. He describes it as a plan proposed by a group of companies working together under the name CityBridge that have been selected to replace the old payphone system. Up to 10,000 column-like devices would be placed in all five boroughs starting next year if the plan is approved by the city's Franchise and Concession Review Committee. The devices, along with Wi-Fi, would also have touchscreens for users to access city agencies and digital displays for advertising and announcements. These devices would replace 8,400 payphones around the city. The only phones left would be three booth-style payphones on New York's Upper West Side that would be preserved as pieces of New York City history. The mayor noted that the plan would not cost city taxpayers anything. He said the money to cover the costs would come through revenues from the advertising. New York City leaders claim that advertising revenue from these new devices would bring in $500 million over the next 12 years. For the Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Jim Dameron, N8TMW, reporting.
Likely the thing most New Yorkers will miss is the ringing bells each time a coin is inserted into a payphone. What they won't miss is searching through their pockets in the cold of winter looking for those coins. With thanks to Allen Labs, AMSAT, the ARRL, CQ Magazine, the FCC, the Ohio Penn DX Bulletin, RAIN, the RSGB, the South African Radio League, the Southgate News, Twit TV, Australia's WIA News, and you, our listeners, that's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline. Our email address is newsline@arnewsline.org. More information is available at Amateur Radio Newsline's only official website, located at www.arnewsline.org. You can also write to us or support us at Amateur Radio Newsline, 28197 Robin Avenue, Santa Clarita, California, 91350. For now, with Bill Pasternak, WA6ITF, at the editor's desk, I'm Skeeter Nash, N5ASH, wishing listeners in the United States a belated Happy Thanksgiving. And to all of you worldwide, 7-3, and we thank you for listening. Amateur Radio Newsline is copyright 2014. All rights reserved.